This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The New World Report with Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, here to comment on something he has attended, the gathering by the United Nations to concern itself with climate. And the gathering in these last days was in Brazil, and a headline that needs interpretation. From the Andes to the Amazon, indigenous leaders bring their demands to COP30. Subhead, after journeying weeks from a glacier in the Andes to Brazil's tropical coast, a boat carrying dozens of indigenous leaders landed in Belém a day ahead of the start of the United Nations COP30 climate summit. Ernesto, a very good evening to you. We see indigenous peoples troubled in various countries, Peru, for example, or northern Brazil, or along the Colombia-Amazon frontier where there's exploitation of resources. And I always cover it as an individual news event, but this allows me to put it all together, saying the indigenous leaders have demands about climate, about what is happening to their region. What was your experience when you were foreign minister? And help me understand, Brazil is often understood to be the Amazon country, but in fact, the Amazon touches many, or if not all, of the countries of the continent. Good evening to you, Ernesto.
Oh, good evening, John. Thank you very much. And thank you for bringing this subject, which is very important and very complex. So, the Amazon touches Brazil, Bolivia, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Venezuela, and the Guyanas. So all those countries. Of course, the climate and environment issues are very much interlinked with the issues of people who live there, right? So this is a more complex situation as well, because you don't have a clear distinction. Here are the indigenous people, and there, let's say, the non-indigenous. No. And especially for Brazil, much of the population who lives in the Amazon, about 20 to 30 million people, they are of mixed descent, so part indigenous, part European, and even part black, so African black. So which is more common in the south, not that much in the Amazon. But so you have the question of poverty that affects all those 30 million people, or most of them, not only the indigenous populations. Poor people, they need to make a living. And when they don't find good jobs, they would be very much tending to go towards illegal activity that degrades the environment, like illegal logging or illegal farming or illegal mining, right? So as for the purely indigenous populations, they're a bunch of laws, and I think that's the situation most of the Amazonian countries, not only in Brazil, that try to protect those populations and try to keep them in as close as possible to their original ways of living, which is very difficult. But for example, in Brazil, 14% of Brazilian territory, which is a lot of land, is indigenous land, where government has limited sovereignty. It's basically the indigenous population that have sovereignty. But what happens? That has, of course, a very good side. But at the same time, illegal activities tend to exploit those indigenous populations. They go there, of course. They couldn't do that, but they do, and bribe them into letting them in to do illegal mining, for example, and it's very difficult for the authorities to control that, because it's supposed to be indigenous land. Okay, so you would tend to say, okay, this is indigenous land, so it's safe environment-wise, and it's not the case in many circumstances. So, and as I said, the laws are there. Also, the question sometimes is many times is how the laws are applied, how they are enforced. That region is also plagued by corruption. So environmental fiscalization of the territory, and in many cases it exists, but illegal activities bribe the fiscals and so on and so forth. So you need some sort of political solution that at the end of the day brings would bring more, let's say, state presence, I think, into that region to enforce environmental law, to enforce laws that protect the indigenous populations. But when you talk about that, there's, let's say, this age-old reaction, oh, we don't want, the state authorities there, our Brazilian, our Colombian, our Ecuadorian authorities there. So it's hard to go towards a solution. Anyway, it's very good that those things are discussed, that they're discussed let's say, in this cross-sectoral perspective. I also think it's interesting because you see that this brings the issue of COP30 to a wider perspective than only emissions, okay? So I think that's very good. People are going back to talk, going back to talking about all environmental issues and not only the CO2 emissions. Nowadays, for the past 10, 15, 20 years, people have used the words climate and environment almost interchangeably, and it's not so. Climate is only a part of a environment. But I mean, to summarize, I think the question is to have honest, well-meaning governments working in the Amazon, applying laws that exist, and fighting corruption, fighting other ways of misgovernance, and also fighting organized crime. Organized crime is a terrible plague in the Amazon. So basically, you need law and order, I think, to protect the environment and the indigenous populations.
Let's focus just on what Brasilia can do and is asked to do. Lula da Silva, is he sensitive to the indigenous unhappiness in parts of the Amazon, especially the illegal farming and illegal logging? Is that a vote getter in Brazil, that you care about that?
Well, in the discourse, Lula and his party, they talk a lot about those issues, and they try to draw a contrast with the policies of the Bolsonaro administration. But when you look at the figures and you look at deforestation rates, they are basically the same or worse during the last two or three years under Lula. Health of indigenous populations, they are not good at all. They are, in many cases, worse than during the Bolsonaro administration. So there's a big question of narrative, of who controls the press, who controls what goes to the press, much more than the reality in the field, right? So, and unfortunately, this tends to be politicized, and the indigenous populations themselves don't get the benefits of political action. Political action tends to be second, have a second road to narrative. But that being said, I think that there are well-meaning people in the Lula administration, as there were in the Bolsonaro administration. The problem is that, and I think that's the overall problem in Brazil, corruption and organized crime. Okay, so whatever you have money, government money going somewhere, the tendency will be to for someone criminally to get that money along the way somehow, right? That's what must be addressed. Okay, but I think Brazil has this overall problem, this overarching problem, which is corruption and organized crime, and individual issues can only be solved once that one is solved.
Do the indigenous people, I know you have them in different places around the Amazon, do they regard themselves as Brazilian citizens, or are they, do they think of themselves as a silo, separate from all the rest of them? How do they present themselves? We have about a minute.
Yeah, that's a very good question. Basically, from my experience and from what I studied, most of them consider themselves Brazilians. They want to be more integrated in the overall Brazilian society, to have more economic opportunities, use their lands in a better way. Only a minority, in many cases, under the influence of NGOs, would present their case as being, oh, we're a different nation. But that's very rare and very much politically motivated and manipulated. So basically, they are Brazilians who want to make the use that they are allowed to use of their own lands and can't.
Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, he's traveling in Africa.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.